Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
So grab your copy of God's Word, go with me to Romans chapter 12, and if I had to guess, there are a lot of us here today who would stand up and testify in a sort of a similar fashion, right, to this video right here. You know, we'd give us every year we kind of start off with those high expectations, but somewhere throughout the year, maybe even before January's out, right? Maybe even before January's out, we give up on those expectations. We start off thinking this is going to be the best year ever, but somewhere along the way, we settle for mediocrity. And maybe you're coming into this year saying something like this, something has to change. You know, one of the things that I love about the Bible is how often the Bible talks about changing us. Beloved, God desires to change you and me. Amen? We used to sing that old hymn, right? Just as I am. And that's the amazing thing about God, is that no matter who you are, where you've been, and all the things in between, all the details about you, doesn't matter what they are, God wants to meet you right where you are, but He does not desire for you to stay the same. God wants to change us. Over and over again, the Bible talks about this metamorphosis that takes place in us by the power of God. All of us who are in Christ, we're being transformed. We need to change. In fact, I want you to turn to your neighbor this morning and say this. You need to change. Go ahead, do it right now. You need to change. You need to change. Now, hold on. Wait, hold, whoa, stop. Now, that's a lot easier than saying, I need to change, right? We don't want to leave that out. Now turn to your neighbor and lovingly say, I need to change. Come on, you said the other one. You better say this one too. We all need to change. And by the power of God, guess what, church? That's possible. And if you'll let God do that in this year, in this new year, you'll indeed have the best year ever. That's the title of this morning's message, The Best Year Ever. And today's topic is simply this, how to have the best year ever. And God tells us here in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, how to do that. We see here in this text, we see a goal, we see the resources, we see the process for change. And all of this, if we'll take these in, not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word, livers of the word. If we will do these things, then we will indeed be set up for the best year ever. I want to invite you this morning to stand to honor the reading of the word of God. Just two verses this morning. If you were with us last time, last Sunday, we read 18 verses. All right, so I'm going to make it a little easier on you this morning. Just two, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. I don't know if I'll preach any shorter, but we're only going to cover two verses this morning. And here's what the Word of God says. Now remember, as you come to this, guys, here at Eastwood, we highly value the power of the Word of God. God's Word is powerful because the God who has revealed it to us is powerful, okay? So here's what the Word of God says. It says, I appeal to you. This is the Apostle Paul here preaching to the church in Rome and to us. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. Thus ends the reading of the Word of God this morning. And let's ask God now to help us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, would you illumine this text for us, God? Open our eyes that we might understand your word, and then help us, God, to apply it. Father, meet us where we are, but do not leave us where we are and how we are. God, take us forward. Change us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So grab your seat there if you would. So we see the text here to have the best year ever. First, we see in the text that we need to set the right goal. And here's the goal that I want to challenge you here in 2021 to set for yourself. And it's this I will statement. I will live my life as if every second reflects to God how valuable I think He is. because it does. Let me say it again. I will live my life. This is the right goal. I will live my life as if every second reflects to God how valuable I think he is, because it does. So we have to realize, beloved, right off the bat here, that every second of our life reflects to God what we think about him. Every moment is a potential worship moment, and we either worship him well or we worship him poorly. And Romans 12, 1 here calls us to worship him well. Look at what the text says. The text says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So we see clearly here that worship is more than singing a song. It's more than gathering together on a Sunday morning. It's a lifestyle. And understanding that, guys, is of utmost importance for you and me. That's why Paul, he's so strong here in the text. Now, our ESV, which is the translation I'm preaching from here, it doesn't really capture the intensity of the Greek here. He says, I appeal to you. And that's kind of strong, but it's kind of like, hey, man, consider this. That's kind of the feeling with I appeal to you. But the Greek word parakalao, right, it's more than just appealing. It's urging. It's begging. It's pleading. He's saying, guys, this is urgent. This is serious. And so what I say to you this morning, it is serious. It is serious. It is urgent that we take our life of worship seriously. And how are we to do that? Well, Paul tells us here that we do that when we present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So when you hear that word sacrifice there, immediately our minds, for those of us who are sort of familiar with the Old Testament, immediately our mind goes to the temple and to the tabernacle, to the rituals of sacrifice there in the Old Testament. You see, according to the law of God, a Jew would bring his offering of an animal of some sort, and there were different animals that they could do, a bull or a ram or a dove, or I mean just all sorts of different animals that they could bring for sacrifice, and they would bring it to the priest, who would then take that animal, slay it, and place it on the altar on behalf of the person that brought it. Now, here's the thing you need to understand about sacrifices. They don't waver in their worship to God. Amen? They're 100% dead to the world, and they are 100% dedicated to God. They don't waver in their worship to God. Now, that's what God's calling us to, right? To not be wavering, to be a living sacrifice to him. But now there's two big differences between those Old Testament sacrifices and the living sacrifice that God is calling us to here. The first one is simply this. It ain't an animal being sacrificed, right? It's not an animal. It's you and me. We're not bringing the body of some creature to the temple to be sacrificed on our behalf. God says, bring yourself, present your body to God as a living sacrifice. But secondly, this sacrifice that he's calling us to in Romans 12, it's not a dead sacrifice. It's a living sacrifice. Now, as you understand the old covenant, right, it required a dead. They killed the animal. It required a dead sacrifice. But God is calling you and me to sacrifice ourselves not by dying for God, but by living for God. And that's why God calls us in Galatians 2:20, where Paul testifies the life that you and I should live, where he says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ died as a sacrifice for you and me. But you and I, as we come to Jesus, we conform ourselves to Christ and give ourselves as a living sacrifice as Christ lives in us. And if you and I, if we'll live by faith in the Son of God and present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, we will have the best year ever. Don't miss that part, though, where it says holy and acceptable. Guys, that's where true joy is found. Holiness is found in obedience to God. Living the life that loves what God loves and hates what God hates. And in those moments where we fail, a life that is holy and acceptable to God is covered by the blood of Jesus. And let's just be honest, that's the only way that you and I are actually holy and acceptable is by the blood of Jesus. But that's what we're to be. We're to strive, even though we have fallen short of the glory of God, Christ has redeemed us, and we strive to live that holy and acceptable life where we present our bodies as living sacrifices. Our goal, we got to set the right goal this year. I will live my life as if every second reflects to God how valuable I think he is, because it does. But second this morning, praise God, he's not left us to ourselves in this effort. So let's now turn our attention to the resources that God has given. And so to have the best year ever, we must secondly depend on the right resources. And here is the statement that I want to challenge you here in 2021. I will draw on the mercies of God. Maybe we should throw an adverb in there. I will draw daily on the mercies of God. And where do we see these right resources in our text? Well, found right there in the phrase, by the mercies of God. Look at Romans 12:1 again. Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And so the key to this profound phrase, by the mercies of God, is found in that little preposition there, the Greek word dia, translated as by in our text. And of course, if you have the NESB or the CSB or the KJV, all of those translate that Greek word dia as by the mercies of God. But would anybody here today, would they say, I've got the NIV translation. Anybody got the NIV out there? That's the one that you carry? Okay, great. Well, the NIV, the translators there, they took a little different approach to translating this Greek word dia. They translate it this way, in view of God's mercies. In view of God's mercies. Now, you need to understand that both of those, by the mercies of God and in view of the mercies of God, those are both valid translations. And both bring, they bring a depth to the text. But can you detect, as I say those two phrases, the difference, the nuance there? By the mercies of God, in view of the mercies of God. NIV, right? Present your bodies to God in view of the mercies of God. And so in that sense, think about it. You're presenting yourself to God because you're motivated by everything he's done for you, right? And then the ESV translation, you present your bodies to God by the mercies of God. And in that sense, you're presenting yourself to God through the power and provision of God's mercies, right? So both approaches, they're helpful to help us to illustrate the motivation and provision of God's mercy. So let's look at those two just a little more in depth. Let's look at the first perspective, what we might call the motivation perspective, kind of captured there in the NIV translation. In view of God's mercies, present yourselves as sacrifices to God. So what has God done? What has God done that would motivate you to present yourself to him as a living sacrifice? I mean, many good things, right? I mean, you could count puppy dogs and popsicles and sun and rain and all of those things, right? All of those universal graces that come to us simply by being on planet Earth, right? God said he causes the rain to fall on not just the just, but the unjust as well. And so those are just common graces or universal graces that God gives to us simply by being on the planet, right? He has been good to us. But then there are those special graces, the fact that Jesus Christ has come and that he's lived in our place and died in our place and rose again from the dead, and every person who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved, right? God created you and me, you need to understand this morning, for a relationship with him. And for those of you who have come to Christ and you've leaned on Christ and you've loved Christ, you've placed your faith in Christ, God has shown you special grace, particular grace. And I want to invite you this morning, if you've never done that, if you've never turned and trusted in Jesus, you need to understand this morning that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Right? Universally, simply by being born into this world, you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And Jesus Christ came that you and I could be saved if you'll only turn and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. He offers salvation to whosoever will believe on Christ, right? And so if that's you this morning, you've never done that, I beseech you, I appeal to you, all the words that Paul uses here, give your life to Christ. God's done a lot of good things for us. I mean, we could go on and on. He's been so good to us in so many ways. And in view of that, all that God has done and all that he's promised to do, the KJV actually best captures this sentiment in its translation when it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable worship. You probably, now for a lot of you guys in this room, you probably have memorized this verse with the KJV language, right? That you would present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. That word reasonable is really helpful when we think about this view right here, this perspective. In other words, in view of all that God has mercifully done for you, it just makes sense that you will present your body as a living sacrifice. Guys, God is so worthy. Amen? He's so worthy. So let God's mercies motivate you. But what about that other perspective on God's mercies? This other perspective in which is what we might call the provision perspective. We see it primarily again here in the ESV translation. By the mercies of God, present yourselves as sacrifices to God. Now let's just be honest for a moment. Presenting yourself as a living sacrifice is a tall order. It's a really tall order, right? It is. We, by nature, the Bible says, are set against God. Our flesh naturally is set against God. And even after we come to Christ, there are still things that try to hold on, right? And so for even the sinner being saved by grace, it can be a tall order in our own strength to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. We're so weak. We're so often fickle. How are we to ever do such a spiritually enormous thing? And how are we to do it not just once, but over and over and over again every day? And the answer is by the mercies of God. God's mercies are the provision that you and I need to continually present our bodies as that living sacrifice to God. So what Paul's saying here is that this lifestyle of worship that you and I've been called to, it's not simply man-wrought. It's God-wrought. God provided. God supplied. God perfected. You see, God provides all that you and I need, right? In his good will, in his good plan, he's working to produce in you and me this godliness where we present our bodies as living sacrifices, and he gives us all that we need to be that living sacrifice. Praise God. He will not leave us to ourselves, but he works in us that we might present ourselves to him as a living sacrifice. And so as you think about depending on the right resources for worshiping God with our lives, we have the mercies of God in view before us, all the things that he's done. So that's outside of us, motivating us to give ourselves to him. And then along with that is something inside of us. The power of God, the provision of God, helping, enabling, whatever word you want to use there, empowering us to present ourselves as living sacrifices to God. These are the mercies of God. Yo, that's some really amazing stuff. So depend on the right resources, beloved. I will draw daily. Add in that word daily there. I will draw daily on the mercies of God. And if you'll do that, you will have the best year ever. But there's one more thing that we need to grasp from this text and apply to our lives to have the best year ever. We hope to have. Third, here's the third thing we see in the text. We must engage in the right process. Engage in the right process. And here's the I statement. I will give my mind to God so that my body will follow. I'll give my mind to God so that my body will follow. So if we're going to present our bodies as a living sacrifice by the mercies of God, we have to change. You've already told your neighbor they got to change. But you've also admitted, I need to change as well. We have to be transformed. And how do we do that? Well, we engage in the right process described to us here in Romans 12:2. Look at it with me. Do not be conformed, the text says here, to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to this world. That's tough, because that's almost like telling a fish, don't be wet, okay? We naturally offer our bodies to this world. But in light of Romans 12:1, we don't offer our bodies to the world, we offer our bodies to God. We're not conformed to this world, we are conformed to Christ. You have to understand that's God's plan for your life, if you're a Christian, from the foundation of the world. It's described in Romans 8, verse 29, that you'd be conformed to Christ. That's God's plan for you from the foundation of the world. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so if you're in Christ, guys, you have to understand, conforming to Christ is your destiny. And this process of being conformed to Christ, it begins, according to our text here in Romans 12, by being transformed by the renewal of your mind. So here's what that means. It means that outward conforming to Christ in your body, presenting your body as a living sacrifice to God, it begins with the inward conformity to Christ in our minds. Let me say that again. Our outward conformity to Christ in our body, presenting our bodies as living sacrifices to God, it begins with the inward conformity to Christ in our minds. And so if you really want to present your body as a living sacrifice to God, something has to change. And that something, according to our text, is your mind. Your mind has to change. Your outer follows your inner. Your body follows your mind. Paul says our mind must be transformed before our bodies will do what God wants us to do. Let's get real for a moment. You don't sin because you're made to. You sin because you want to. You desire to. Nobody makes you sin. You want to. Think about the last time that you sinned. Nobody made you do that. You desired to do that. You don't follow God because you're made to. You follow God because you want to. And this morning, if you're here and you're not really presenting your body to God as a living sacrifice, it is because you don't really want to. You need a change of mind. I wonder, do you ever find yourself loving the things that God hates and hating the things that God loves. Do you ever find yourself doing the things that God prohibits and not doing the things that God commands? I do. We all do from time to time, don't we? And why do we do that? The answer is because we don't fully have the mind of God yet. We need our mind further renewed. We need our mind further transformed. I don't want the mind of Ben. I want the mind of Jesus. I want the mind of God. I want His desires, His dreams, His motivations, His understanding. Because wherever my mind leads, my body will follow. And so be renewed by the transforming, or be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Only through this process, Paul says, will you then be able to prove, to know what is actually good, what is actually acceptable, what is actually perfect. Only through this process right here will you then be able to prove and to present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, acceptable to God. Only through this process here will you then live every second of your life as a reflection of how worthy and valuable God actually is. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's the process. So how do we do that in practical terms? It takes two things in particular. Two ways, both by the Holy Spirit. Your mind's renewed in two ways, both by the Holy Spirit. First, it is renewed by the Holy Spirit through filling our minds with truth. We have to pursue the consumption of truth, just like I pursue food to fill my belly, and healthy food to fuel my belly and fill my belly rightly with good stuff. We have to pursue truth that our mind may be godly, be filled with godly things. This has to be a priority for us. And where's truth ultimately found? It's the Bible. That is our only authority for truth. Ultimate truth, truth that you can trust. So we got to read the Bible. And I know coming into 2021, we saw read the whole, you know, in the video, read the whole Bible through in a year. Okay, next year, no, just the New Testament. the next year, just open up the book. Guys, you got to get serious about reading the Bible. If you want to have your mind transformed and to be renewed, you've got to fill it with truth. So I want to invite you, if you're on Facebook, I have a Bible reading group that I'd love for you to be a part of. And every day I send out a daily reading with a little bit of a devotional thought with it. And so I'd invite you, if you would like to be a part of that, just let me know and I'll invite you. I have to invite you into the group because it's a private group. But this year, here's what we're going to do. Something different, something I've personally never done. We're actually going to read the Old Testament through chronologically. All right? Chronologically, read through the Old Testament. And it's set up for only 5 days a week. Gives you 2 days for catch-up. And so, guys, this is one of the ways that you can get serious about consuming the Bible. And if you don't want to do that one, find one. They're all good, right? Any plan for reading the Bible is a good one, okay? It's a good one. So read the Bible, but you also must read and listen to people who rightly teach the Bible. That has to be a priority for you. And let's be honest, today we live in a society, in a culture, in a situation where it's really easy for you to do that. There are podcasts and articles. You got the internet, YouTube. You've got all those things to aggregate great Bible teachers. I mean, you can literally walk around all day long with an earbud, listening to preachers all day long if you wanted to. I don't recommend that, but you could. That's just how much potential there is out there for you to be filled with good Bible preachers and teachers. Now, there are bad ones. Don't listen to the bad ones. And if you don't know if they're a bad one or not, text me and I'll try to help you figure that out, okay? But listen to the good ones. Fill your mind with those things. Fill your mind with those things. Feed on truth. That's one way that the Holy Spirit renews your mind. Here's the second way. Your mind is renewed by the Holy Spirit through prayer. through prayer. So spend time with God in prayer. Have you found out to be true that you usually become like the people that you hang out with? Amen? Right? You usually become like the people that you hang out with. So guess what? Spend time with God so that you might become more like God. And be very specific to ask God to help your mind to be renewed. Ask Him to conform your mind to Christ's so that you'll truly love what He loves and truly hate what He hates. Ask God to help you to desire obedience to Him and His will in all things. Those two ways, prayer, spending time in prayer, and consuming truth, are the two ways that the Holy Spirit uses primarily to renew your mind. So guys, engage in the right process. I will give my mind to God so that my body will follow. Beloved, do you want 2021 to be the best year ever? Then set the right goal, depend on the right resources, and finally engage in the right process. I pray that maybe today these things could be your resolutions for this year. And I pray these would be the ones that you keep. Amen? But we need to say one more thing, and it's this. Some of you here this morning, you cannot yet give your mind to God because you've not yet given your heart to God. You've not yet turned from your sins, sorrow for your sins, and turned to Jesus in faith and love. You've not done that. You've never done that. You may hang around Christians, but you're not yet a Christian. And that's from young to old. There are people in this congregation even who have not yet turned and trusted Jesus. You could though, couldn't you? Right now, even this very hour, you could confess to God that you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior and that you hate your sin. And you could tell God that you know Jesus is the only Savior who can save you. And finally, you could make Jesus your Lord and Savior by telling God that you trust in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for your salvation. I want to say to you, if that's you this morning, you don't need me. You just need God right now. So I want to challenge you right now. Even right now, go to God right there where you are. Or for those of you who are watching the live stream, go to God right there where you are. That would be an amazing way to start off the new. But as the praise team comes forward, this is my prayer for all of us. Whether you need Christ this morning or you've known Christ for decades, here's my final prayer. May 2021 indeed be your best year in the Lord ever.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that He sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and He stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that He is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins, turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you, and I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.